Victoria's Racing Heartland. This is the only program dedicated to Victorian country racing. Welcome to the Country Racing Show. It's got it all.
I can feel this day. I can see this day. It's got it all.
And on this Easter Saturday, g'day from JT. Welcome to our Easter edition of the Country Racing Show. And there is a plethora of meetings around our state. So you could be at Eden Hope or at Lakes Entrance. There is a meeting close by where you can go and enjoy a day out with country racing. And it is a great day out, as we know. Well, let's welcome in the country racing team, Maggie Payne. Hello, Maggie. Connor, how are you, mate?
I'm very well, thank you, John. Thanks for having us. Good to have you back in the chair.
Always a
just
pleasure.
Keep rotating things here just to keep it fresh, Keep the listeners entertained, keep Michael Falgate on his toes, obviously. Don't want him getting too comfortable here.
Yes, star of stage and screen.
Very well aware of it is, I'm sure, but we'll get him back eventually. But it's nice to have you for a change.
Always a pleasure to talk country racing. And as I said, heaps of meetings across this long weekend.
Yeah, Monster Weekend coming up, obviously. We had Good Friday off, as it has been traditionally. It might not remain that way for too long, but still a day free of racing. But Easter Saturday brings with it the Warwicknabeal Cup and the Kerrang Cup, so plenty of action up in the northwest of the state. Picnics are on at Balnarring. There's a cup day at Stawell. It's cup day at Tambo Valley for the picnics, and the picnics have got a cup day at Mansfield on Monday as well. So action all the way across the weekend.
Looking forward to going through it all, but firstly we have to look back.
On the Country Racing Show, the Country Racing Week That Was.
Let's go back to last weekend, Saturday, March 24. We had the Lakes Entrance Cup at beautiful Bensdale.
We did, JT, and that did include my tip, but it got scratched, so I'm going to claim that as a win.
I don't think that's quite correct, Maggie, but carry on.
But no, the day's feature went to Henry Dwyer and Michael Poy with the black leopard, and it was he eased him up over the line. It's second start, second win, so it's a nice effort from the four-year-old, isn't it, Connor?
Yeah, it was. So were there a couple of interesting winners on the day? One of them was Lagerfeld, finally broke through for a maiden win. It caused the punters some headaches at its previous couple of starts, went around very short odds at Warrnambool on a couple of occasions and just wasn't quite up to it, but had absolutely no trouble with them at Bairnsdale on Saturday, and there was $2.20 on offer for the loyal types who stuck with him, but I think a few of them probably would have tear their hair out after he did them cold at $1.20 at Warrnambool, but anyway, came out and won by 6 lengths. So the male was good. He's got talent. It was just a matter of finding the right race for him. So Lagerfeld saluted for Aaron Purcell. It was a nice win. And a nice day, I should say, for a few locals from down Bairnsdale Way. The Bullies Boys were a local syndicate who, of course, were in King's Will Dream, which came out and did a number on them in the Mornington Cup on Saturday. So Bully, of course, being the Shadow Minister for Racing, Mr. Timbull, and a handful of his parliamentary colleagues. So one for the Battlers, John.
Well, they've got a ticket straight into the Caulfield Cup now.
They do. And not only a ticket, a good chance. Looks like one of the good chances.
Yeah, it was a very impressive win. So they've got a good one there. Mm-hmm. They've got a good one. And it's nice to see the Shadow Minister for Racing involved in racing. That's what we like to see.
Alexandra had their cup day, Maggie.
They did, and it was no luck for Alexandra. They got washed out a bit like my netball game on Saturday. But, unfortunately didn't go ahead. But they've had a great season, Alexandra, and it's a bit disappointing.
It was rough. I mean, the stewards called the meeting off at about 1 p.m., which, you know, only half an hour before their first race, but they didn't have any choice in the matter. I mean, it absolutely bucketed down out that way all morning. There was surface water across the track, and the Bureau forecast another 10 or 20 mils on the day. So can't fault the stewards for the decision. That was out of their hands, effectively. So bad luck for Alexandra, and effectively a day off for the picnics. But given it was a 1 p.m. withdrawal, they would have gone to all the effort to getting the horses and everyone there, and only to have no race day. So pretty frustrating for all involved.
That's dash bad luck. But we did have that band of rain come through that just dumped.
It was massive.
And they would have copped it. So can they reschedule or
The picnic season's due to finish next weekend. So I think that'd be unlikely. Luck. But a bit of bad luck for Alexandra, and hopefully we can get the final four meetings of the picnic season through without anything similar happening.
Fingers crossed now, Sunday.
Did you see that?
Connor?
Now, there's a little bit going on here, JT. So I'll start by saying that this was my Big V best bet for the week last week. And the reason I tipped it to our loyal listeners is because I'm a part owner of it. I'm very excited. He's
disclosure.
My first horse to get to the races, and he did me proud on his first start at Wangaratta a few weeks ago. He came out and was a good third. He was a bit green, had a bit to learn, but put in an impressive effort and looked like he'd find a race to win somewhere. And what do you know?
Dry Creek Road, surely not in the DeBortoli Wines. A length in front. The outside trying to peg it back is Low Level Flying, but it is Dry Creek Road in front, and Dry Creek Road is going to win it. Radiant Warrior out wide's got second, a nose to Fabrication. Low Level Flying somehow's missed a place, I think.
He won it, and he won it very well, John.
What's it like being a Leviathan owner now, Connor?
Well, Darren's not here, so we can't ask him, so that's unfortunate, but I'm certainly not that. I've got a fraction of one of the hairs in his tail, I think. But it was very exciting watching him race. The query before the race, I think, was on the wide barrier. He drew 12, I think, and doesn't like travelling with horses around him. So Jared Fry was on board, and the instruction was to get him up front among the leaders. But he jumped out like Esther Jarb in the slipper and went straight to the lead and had no troubles with him. Honestly, he looked pretty impressive winning. So. Great result for the Syndicate and for the Johnstons. So great training effort from Mick and Gwenda up there at Echuca on their home track, which we like. And I think they got 17s about him for on the tote. So if there is anyone that actually follows my tips, first of all, apologies for all the bad tips. I hope you collected on this one.
That's what you get, one of those. answer correct. Mick and Gwenda Johnson, always hard to beat in that part of the world, Maggie, and they took away the big chockies on the day.
They did, and it was a nice touch, obviously, the Shadow Ace sprint after their star sprinter, Shadow Ace, who claimed the Goodwood back in 2008.
Correct, 2008.
So, yeah, it was a great day for them claiming the feature, I guess, for the day with Pravro, Nathan Punch. Riding it to victory, and it looked a happy day all around at Echuca.
Yeah, nice little touch as well. Nathan Punch is actually their nephew, so he said he was very pleased to ride his first winner for Auntie Gwenda and Uncle Mick. So,
well done.
Yeah, nice little story. It was that his first time he's ridden a winner for them, and he said that they've given him lots of support over the journey. He's a 23-year-old apprentice, and he looked honestly just delighted to have won the race. So. And I guess winning the Shadow Ways too would have a bit of extra meaning for them. So good day all round for the locals up at Echuca.
I'm glad you didn't use the line, he was pleased as punch.
No, that's got Darren Galley written all over it.
That's what happens with one of those.
You're getting yourself a timeout for that.
Exactly right, mate. Monday, no racing. What happened on Tuesday?
Tuesday we're at Ballarat, so we're a couple of winners worth looking at. One of them was Casino Rose, was a pretty impressive maiden winner for Saab Hassan. The three lengths looked impressive and probably thought it might have held as the most eye-catching win of the day, but it didn't last very long because two races later, a Kiwi import called Golden Key came out for Alet and Zara and won by 5 lengths. So you'd be stiff if you won by 3 lengths and just got relegated like that. But anyway, Damien Lane rode a double for the day, and later in the card there was a win for old mate Quinton Scott with Clemenson. So... Quinny, of course, is a bit of a legend down Warrnambool way. He's had a runner at every carnival since 1973. He lives out there now. Wasn't always based at Warrnambool, but made the pilgrimage. But now he lives out that way as well, and he loves the jumps. And I think Clemenson will be set for the maiden hurdle on day one of the Warrnambool Carnival. So that'll be Quinny's runner to keep the streak alive. Up to 45 years if he gets him there, and pretty remarkable effort.
It is a remarkable effort. A runner there, 1973, it just goes to show the strength of the stable, and to get a horse up and running for that time of the year, it's great to see.
It's a big effort. I did hear that race of Golden Keys, and my neck just went like that because there was a good horse, going back 35, 40 years, George Hanlon train called Golden Key, good welter horse, actually became a pretty good sire too in his own right. What else happened at Ballarat? What about DK Weir Ballarat?
Went home without a win. Very unusual.
Gee, that is a rarity.
It's a noteworthy occurrence at a Ballarat meeting for Weary to go home without a win.
So, sharing the love.
Yeah, and there's plenty of good trainers up there as well to take home some chocolates. I think Matt Kamani had one, so they might. The locals didn't go home empty-handed, I should say. But it's noteworthy when Weary doesn't pick one up at his home track.
Stony Creek had a good meeting early on Wednesday.
Yeah, they did. So I think the final meeting of the season for Stony out there after they've had their cup in March, and it was Publican's Day on Wednesday. And while we're talking about eye-catching maiden winners, there was certainly one in the opening race at Stony. It was a horse called Novasha. Won the opener by a lazy 7 lengths, which is impressive, especially when you think that she'd had 2 prior starts and hadn't done a great deal. Perhaps the extra distance over the 2100, bit of extra fitness, but yeah, it was remarkably easy in the end. The horse was slow out of the gate, was 5 lengths off the back of the field at the when they went past the post the first time. And 7 lengths to the good by the time they came around. So
shows a pretty strong finish, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was
far that far back and win by just, 7. It's
just trotted
effort.
Along behind them and yep. then rounded the field on the turn and left them in the dust. So it was certainly one. It was an eye catcher. I'll say that one. So anyway, good training performance from Nigel Blackiston, and I think Reece McLeod had the easy job in the saddle. Just went straight past him.
Just steer, hey, Maggie.
Sit and steer, as they say, JT. And also on the card, doubles for Linda Meach and Logan McGill. So good day out at Stoney.
Friend of the show, Logan McGill, as we like to say.
Linda Meach is riding well. Well, there's nothing new with that statement. Now, on Thursday, big day for RSN and CRV and Warrnambool, guys.
Yeah, we had the pleasure of heading out to Warrnambool. So the Warrnambool Racing Club was launching the May Carnival, and they did that on Thursday morning out at Lady Bay at the Pavilion Cafe, which is overlooks the breakwater and the Lady Bay beach, where a lot of the Warrnambool trained horses head down and work along the beach there. So the RSN breakfast guys were out there. We had the pleasure of being joined by Half and Whitey, and they interviewed a few figures from the racing club. Pete Downs was in there. They interviewed a couple of carnival ambassadors, including Quinton Scott, who's officially one of the ambassadors for the carnival this year, which is great. He actually, hearing him talk about it, he won in 1984, he won the Wongoom, the Briley, and the Grand Annual all in the same year.
It's a pretty big effort, isn't it, to do that?
Unreal. And I think some of the shine gets taken off his Grand Annual because it was the race that Gallywood fell in and his horse you know, went on and took the chocolates. But a win's a win as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, it was a brilliant day, wasn't it, Maggie?
Yeah, it was a great day, and it was so they couldn't have asked for better weather, and it was beautiful just to see all the horses on the beach and actually pull a good crowd as well. So it was good to see people running past and having a look and having a stop. So it was well done to Pete and his team down at Warrnambool. It was a great turnout.
Yeah, and it was excellent having the RSN breakfast guys there and involved and talking all things Warrnambool Carnival and. Just a great vibe down there, and I think the club certainly appreciated it, and I think it was a good result for all concerned.
And I can tell you that, of course, with the Warrnambool Carnival, what, four weeks away now, is it?
Yeah, thereabouts.
It's getting exciting.
Isn't it just...
getting exciting when you're down on the beach and seeing the likes of Humidor and Toes and Sarding running up beside you, and yeah.
Good vibe. Good. Michael Falgate, he'll be down at Warrnambool for the 3 days.
Couldn't keep him away.
No, he loves the bulls, as we all do. So Racing Pulse will be live from the studios of 3YB for the 3 days. So he will give you all the colour and excitement of a pretty unique and iconic carnival. In I don't think it's emulated anywhere else in this country.
No, I don't think it is in terms of a 3 day racing carnival with jumps racing and flat racing, and you take the character of the course itself and the way the Grand Annual winds through the back paddocks and comes back around, and they take sharp turns, they go up, they go down, they go all around, and you know the sight of the crowd heading up the hill en masse to watch the Grand Annual is one of the great spectacles in
the
racing and
pilgrimage.
It is. It's a pilgrimage. It really is, and it's something that is unique. You're right, John, and it's something that we should celebrate because it's ours. And, you know, we should be rightly proud of it.
Well done to...
as Victorians, I
should
say.
Absolutely, and well done to Pete and the team down there at the Bull. Hey, we'll take a break on the Country Racing Show now, team. The other side, it's time to spin a yarn.
The people who love thoroughbred racing from around Victoria. The Country Racing Show. It's got it all.
I can feel this day. I can see this day. It's got it all.
The people at the grassroots of racing. We're spinning a yarn on the Country Racing Show.
Now, Connor and Maggie, this is my favourite time of the show because we get to speak to some very, very fine people, some characters of the sport, and I think we've got one lined up from the beautiful part of Victoria at Warwick, Nabil. He's the man behind the club. Lance Hubner is joining us now on the Country Racing Show.
Good of you to take time out on what I imagine is probably one of the biggest days of the year for you, the Warwick Nabil Cup Day. Tell us about your involvement in racing, Lance. How did you actually become interested in the sport as a young man?
When I was just still going to school, I liked going to the races. Mum used to drop me off in the front gate, and then she'd go to see her relations in town, and then I'd go to the races. in those days, of course, you weren't betting or anything, but I just liked the love of the horse, the atmosphere. And it grew from there. Dad used to take us to the old Sheep Hill race course for their once-a-year meeting. And it was ironic that years later, I suppose 20 or so years later, I became the treasurer and secretary of that club. And then it came into Warwick-Nabil, and it raced in Sheep Hill the 2 days before Decimal Currency Day came in 1966. So they never raced for dollars out of Sheep Hill. So then I joined the Warwick-Nabil Club, and I did a stint of national service, and then after that, well, then I joined fully the club, and I've been there for about 44 years since.
Wow, that's a pretty good effort, Lance, and so you've been involved in racing a long time. I've got a little tip from Connor that you even ran a book on the 1965 Melbourne Cup for your classmates at school.
Yeah, I did that, and, you know, I was just looking at... managed to keep that little bit of paraphernalia I had. And I see we were at sixpence and threepence and 2 shillings was bet. And that was big in those days, only kids. Light Fingers won it just narrowly. And luckily, nobody had back Light Fingers, so I came out in front.
Apparently, even the school gardener had a bet with him. So, obviously, it was a popular go. But now, Lance, you turned 70 recently, and the racing club managed to spring a surprise party on you last week. Did they manage to get you by surprise?
Absolutely. I can't believe it. I was thinking about having just a bit of a get-together, but Lee Springstone, my race club manager, booked the venue 3 or 4 or 5 months ago for her family reunion. But as it turned out, that was only a ploy. Anyway, look, they kept the total secret from me. I couldn't believe it. And even my daughter and son-in-law and the grandkids, they came down from the Gold Coast, and they came down the day before, but they had a hide around the town so I wouldn't see them. So, yeah, it was a great thrill. And we had, you know, all my old mates came back, and some racing identities too. It was good. And Darren Weir, even, they got a snippet from him on the overhead projector, which I really appreciated. It was great, because I've known Darren even when he came here as a farrier in those days before he took up the licence for his trainer's job.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, Lance. We've actually got the grab here, so we might just play it for the listeners.
How you going, Lance? On behalf of our stable and myself, we just want to wish you a happy 70th birthday and hope you have a great night up there with all your racing mates. Also, just want to congratulate you on how you run the Warwick-Nabil Club up there, and we appreciate it and appreciate everything you do for racing.
It's a lovely comment from DK Weir, Lance. What does the club mean to you, mate?
Well, it means everything. It sort of glues the town together. Really, I think if we lost the race course, the race club, we'd be a lot poorer for it. I always tell some of these non-racing people around the town that Warwick-Nabil race is the only event that gets projected Australia-wide and internationally when we have a race meeting, and they sort of now start to come to realise that. So now with the free-to-air television, racing.com, it's fantastic. We're getting into all the homes around Australia.
That's terrific, Lance, and obviously it's great exposure for the town of Warwick-Nabil as well. But, I mean, you're not just involved in the racing club. I've got a long list of other things you're involved in. I'll try and get through some of them. The Sheep Hills branch of the VFF, you know, Warwick Eagles member, Town Hall Committee, the Sheep Hills Urban Fire Brigade. You're on the Church Council. You assist with Meals on Wheels. And you're a hard worker, from all reports, on Warwick-Nabil Show Day. So just a proper man of Warwick-Nabil, Lance. So I imagine there wouldn't be too many things going on in town that you wouldn't know about.
No, probably not. If you don't support things in the town, well, it just gets too hard for everybody and things don't happen and they're not successful. But, yeah, I enjoy the interaction with people and it's great. And now, in the last few years, we got together as with the Warwick Racing Syndicate. We're quite a fair few are racing that, and there's been 2 or 3 syndicates we've formed. Mainly they've been with Darren, and we've had our first horse, actually, in one syndicate, was Avanti Rose. It's won 4 races now. It's only had a handful of starts. So it's no world beater, but it's going all right.
That's terrific that you can get people together and share the joys of racehorse ownership, because as I've found out very recently, it can be a lot of fun. So that's terrific, Lance. And what sort of crowd are you hoping to see for Warrnambool Cup Day today?
Well, look, it's hard to tell what they'll come, but I'd say about 1,500 will come. And look, for our course, it's very compact. And if we get that type of attendance, we'll be very happy. And we'll be able to handle it adequately.
Who do you think will win the cup today?
Well, look, I was looking through it, and it's hard. Some of those horses are fairly have been racing in better company, but they've had poor form lately, or they're coming back. I just wonder about Mongolian Wolf. 12 months ago, he won at Randwick on Easter Saturday, it looks like, and he's in the cup here at Warrnambool. What a come down for him, or a boost for us. So it's Darren Weir's horse. So we just don't know about that. And there's Falaga, and there's quite a few that I think have got a chance. There's another interesting one that's racing is Saturday Sorcerer. Now, Ian Bell lived here, went to school with my brothers and that, and myself. Ian is a good breeder and a racer of racehorses. He lives in Melbourne now, and he's involved with Essendon Football Club a lot, racing horses. He's got that Saturday Sorcerer in, and he's been trying to win the Warwick Cup for ages. He went in about 1990. He came second at Forceful. He hasn't been able to get close since, but he might have a chance. It's been running all right in Adelaide, actually.
Hey Lance, thanks for spinning a yarn with us this morning on the Country Racing Show. We wish you and the team at Warrnambool all the best. Rip a prize money today, and I'm sure you'll get a great crowd. So I hope it all goes well for you, mate.
Thanks very much, John. Yeah, thank you very much.
I'm on the road again, it's where I want to be.
Here's what's coming up in the country calendar on the road ahead.
Gee, guys, there's plenty going on this Easter long weekend. Let's bounce the ball today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, obviously, Lance has told us all about the Warrnambool Cup, so looking forward to that one. And also in the northwest of the state, it's Kerrang Cup Day. And the picnics are on at Balnarring, so that's their last meeting for the season, which is terrific. The first of a trio of picnic meetings across the weekend. So huge weekend, lots of ramifications for the picnic premierships across the jockey and trainer and even horse premierships are all up for grabs. So plenty to watch there. So Sunday has got the Stuart McGregor Stall Cup, which is, of course, named after the late Stuart McGregor, who passed away late last year, and father of Jock and Sandy McGregor, obviously both heavily involved in racing. Sandy with the AJRA and owning a lot of horses, and Jock's been involved at Stall for a long time. And anyway, Stuart was heavily involved in the race club and racing in the northwest of the state for a very long time. So the cup's been named in his honour, which is terrific. And I think there'll be a horse wearing Sandy's colours in the race.
Okay.
It's a French import. Looks like it'll go over the sticks. It's 8 years old, so making its Australian debut over the 2000, and it'd be a nice story if he could win that race named after his old man. So we'll see how that goes. But also on Sunday, it's Tambo Valley Picnic Cup Day up at Swifts Creek, up in the hills there. So that'll be a nice day, nice picturesque spot. Head to Bairnsdale and head north, I think, is the directions.
What about Easter Monday?
Easter Monday at Mansfield. So Mansfield is obviously a lovely location. They put on a really good race day. The only picnic club where you can't BYO, so just a heads up to anyone who's planning on going there, but it'll be well catered for if you do show up. The club does a very nice job, and it looks like a great day's racing.
What's happening for the rest of the week, Maggie?
We're heading to Ballarat on the Tuesday. It'll be a great day. And then Wednesday we're going to Sale, Thursday Benalla, and then racing.com park at Pakenham, Thursday night racing. And finish the week off, we're at Kyneton, and then night racing at Cranbourne. So big week in racing coming up across the weekend.
Panning for punting gold this weekend. The Country Racing Show loads up with Victoria's best bet.
Seeing that you're in the chair, Maggie, because your horse did not run last week, I think we can bounce the ball with you. What's the best?
And I'm not sure whether Connor has any other horses he hasn't told me about that he has some part ownership in, so I'm not aware of those.
Maybe Winks.
maybe a Winks. Wouldn't that be
all
nice?
About that.
No, I'm heading to Kerrang today, so the Club Baron Kerrang Cup is going to be run and won today, which is race 6 on the card. So I'm I'm sticking with the Swan Hill Locals Osti Coffee with number 7 corporate takeover. So Osti Coffee and Jess Eaton will get the ride. Win it, coming off a win in a benchmark 64 at Ararat. We'll go up in distance, looks to suit for a good win. So race 6, number 7 at Kerrang, corporate takeover.
Connor?
Assuming Harry must be otherwise engaged at Caulfield. I haven't checked the form, but
He's riding at Caulfield today,
Caulfield.
Yeah.
So Jess gets the ride, so that's good for her. Anyway, I'll be going for the Stall Cup. Run over 2,000 metres. It's actually a cracking field. It was difficult to pick a favourite out of this, but I just can't go past Floral Fever because he's been such a terrific Cups horse this campaign. He's had quite a few runs. He started off his Cups efforts in the Woodford Cup. He was third. He went to the Koroit Cup. He was second. He won the Camperdown Cup. Had a start at Moonee Valley, won the Colac Cup, and was just nosed, well, not nosed out, but just beaten in the Stony Creek Cup by a very good one in Gallic Chieftain. So, Floral Fever, loves the distance, loves the Country Cup, really reliable sort of campaigner, so I think he'll be in the finish.
I'm going to take the advice of Lance, and I'm going to go for this Wee Horse Mongolian Wolf in today's Warwick Nabil Cup. 1600 may be a little short, but look, he's first up since running in the Weekend Hustler in the spring, so obviously he's had some issues, but gee, if he's anywhere close to being fit, he could run a really cheeky race today in the Warwick Nabil Cup. Mongolian Wolf obviously had some issues and Weary's working him back slowly, but he's a class runner of the field. Declan Bates takes the mount, so I'm with the Wolf at Warwick Nabil, guys.
I hope he goes well. For Lance's sake as well.
Yeah. Hey, that's the show, fellas.
We've done all right.
We've done pretty well for Easter Saturday.
Now we've got to go get the chocolate. Let's go hook into the chocolate.
That's tomorrow. Hey, don't forget daylight saving ends tomorrow, so we get an extra hour to sleep in.
I reckon I'll need every bit of it. It's been a big waste.
And it's also April Fool's Day, so just be very, very careful early in the morning. Hey, I'm with you for the next 2 weeks because Michael Felgate's up on the Gold Coast covering the Comm Games.
Lucky for him, lucky for us, I say.
Absolutely. So we'll talk next Saturday morning about country racing, guys.
Looking forward to it. Cheers, John.
Thanks, JT. Bye.
From Victoria's racing heartland, the Country Racing Show.